I had no idea that it would blow up in my life to the extent that it did. I was a total innocent walking into a minefield. You know, I thought, okay, the worst that could come out of this is they'll reprimand me and remove me and send me to another church. That's the worst that can happen. That's what I figured.
Was this your own conclusion, or did you derive that with your family? You just
no, I just realized that that's how you deal with a minister who can't, doesn't fit, as they say, with his congregation, which I know is bullshit because I fit with most people there. But I knew in the power politics of the church, it's always a minority who hold the power. And these people who were the old guard, who were connected with the people who had run the residential school, who were scared shitless of Indians, you know, who had the guilty conscience, those were the ones who had the ear of the higher-ups in the church. And I knew they were going to remove me. But I thought that they would simply, you know, do the whole re-education thing and say, well, you got to go and retrain, and then you got to have another church. But I realized pretty quickly when all of this stuff started happening that they wanted me out. They didn't want me. It was kind of like, you know, the Matrix when they the plugs start flying out of Neo, right? Like the system looks at him and go, whoa, he's not going to fit. Flush. And they flush me.
Kevin was a thorn in the side of the establishment. And one of the meetings that I was made aware of, it came up, well, if you want to really get rid of Kevin out of it, then what you do is you attack his wife and children. And how you attack the wife and children, you put a lot of pressure on them and say that the longer Kevin Annett continues with disclosing these murders and continuing working with the Aboriginal people, the harder it's going to be for you to feel socially acceptable in the community. And you know, your husband shouldn't be doing this. And if your husband continues to do this, there's going to be ramifications for you and your daughters.
I didn't think that they were going to eventually, like, basically destroy my life, get rid of my livelihood, and help break up my family, which they did.
Where did your family? Did you talk this over with your family? Where that was church business? You didn't talk with her.
Well, eventually, when with my wife Anne, who my ex-wife now, I began to share a lot of stuff with her, and she was getting really scared about all this stuff. But what happened was, after I was fired, they went to her, and they actually offered to pay for her divorce and help her if she provided them with information. And in fact, subsequently, they gave her documents which tried to make me look like I was mentally unstable, which she used in divorce court, and she got custody of our two young daughters as a result. So the fact that the church would do that would actually help in the divorce to get my kids taken away from me, the fact that they would spend $250,000 to throw me out of the church, that was all telling me and other people a lot of stuff. That was telling me that there's a much bigger agenda here. They're scared and they want me out and silenced by any means necessary. So you don't just do that to somebody who has, you know, offended the congregation or who isn't a good minister. You don't go to that extent unless there's some other thing you're trying to hide. And that was clearly about these murdered kids and the stolen land.
I witnessed the death of Maisie Shaw.
You have as much right to call yourselves Christians as the members of the Inquisition. Where is your apology? Where did you bury the children?
But this is where we found those, we've seen those little skulls.
You found them in here?
We found them in here. There was coal, like coal. See, we weren't allowed to come here.
Never at any point when I was pleading with them to stop what they were doing to my family and I, even on that level of just how it impacted me personally, there wasn't a shred of humanity in them. They were like,
you were looking
machines.
In their eyes, nothing there.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you know what? When that happened to me, I realized up until then, you know, like any of us, it's somewhat abstract. People tell you stories and you keep wondering, well, how could they do this? When I saw what they were able to do to me, one of their own, when they turned and shredded my life mercilessly and allowed my 6 and 2-year-old daughter to go through hell, I thought, if they could do that to me, imagine what they could do to a native child who wasn't a Christian, who was dark-skinned, who wasn't part of them. Of course they could kill them.
So I watched, and she was standing at the top of the stairs, and he kicked her. She went rolling downstairs. She ended up, she was laying like this. Her eyes were open, but she wasn't moving. She wasn't crying. So I see that all the time.
Her name was Maggie. She was 2 years older than me. And she was murdered in there by a nun. She pushed out the window, second story up, and she died. But nothing was done about it. We weren't allowed to see a lawyer or nothing. They just covered this up.
Jenny wouldn't cry out, and then all of a sudden, this blood just spurred all over the place, and on her, just on her back, and a small part of her back here. It opened up. It opened up wide. And the blood came.
There was two young men ran away. They got as far as Jasper, and they froze to death on the highway. And I know the exact spot that they died. It's just like all of us have that history. We know what happened to people.
When I allowed a forum for that in my church, lots of stories were told, including a whole hidden history of how the church had been selling off native land to its corporate benefactors, including McMillan Bloedel, a big logging company at the time. And there were all these little backroom deals going on with stolen native land. And I called the church on that, and they showed me the door.
The whole process of your firing was farcical. The church knew there were 1,400 lawsuits coming down the pipe over the residential schools. I'm convinced that your removal was orchestrated from Toronto, from the church head office. I think it's obvious to me that the national office removed you because they knew of the upcoming RCMP investigation and of the land deal after Marion Best got your letter. They were in for a rough fight and didn't want dissent from a Port Alberni pulpit.
The sale and speculation of a house at First Nation land on Flores Island, Lot 363 on Canada's west coast, by the United Church of Canada, BC provincial government, McMillan Bloedel and two local businessmen, was brought to light and challenged between 1992 and 1994. The two individuals primarily involved in making these disclosures, Hereditary Ahouset Chief Earl McKenna George and United Church Minister Reverend Kevin Annett, have now been expelled from the United Church over these same events.